Heavenly Father, as we have just sung, we glorify your name, the God one in three, three in one, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we come to look at your word today, open our hearts and minds to what it might say and speak into each of our lives. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as Zev, I have probably shared from time to time in the past, one of the great things that I've always loved through life is travelling. Love going to new places, whether it be in Ireland or whether it be further afield. I love experiencing new things, new countries, new cultures, new peoples, new customs, and so on. And one of the good things about travelling is getting the opportunity maybe to learn a little bit about that place before you go. It's handy to have a little bit of knowledge, maybe even a little bit of the local lingo as well. Please, thank you, and so on. For example, I remember years ago when I was a student going to Canada for the summer, and there was a kind of an orientation session, and I remember someone impressing on us to be careful where we cross the road. Now, in Ireland and in a small town in Ireland, you know that you can pretty much cross the road anywhere. But apparently in Toronto, where we were, we could be done for something called jaywalking. I'd never in my life heard about what jaywalking was. But apparently jaywalking was crossing the road at an undefined place. And if the police saw you crossing the road wherever you want, they could pull you over and fine you on the spot. Some local customs and traditions. And so in preparation for this sermon, I came across some more laws that I thought it might be worth knowing just in case any of us ever travel to any of these places. Apparently, in Victoria, in Australia, only a qualified electrician is allowed to change a light bulb. That's law. And if you are caught changing a light bulb and you're not a qualified electrician, you can be fined 10 Australian dollars or 7 euro. So that could be pretty expensive if you're changing a few light bulbs. In Milan in Italy, the law states that it is a requirement to smile all the time. You're not allowed to have a frown on your face unless it's during a funeral or a hospital visit. And again, frowners can be fined a hefty fine if they are seen not smiling. Flushing the loo after 10 p.m. in an apartment building is illegal in the country of Switzerland. The government consider flushing the loo after 10 p.m. noise pollution. In France, it is illegal to name a pig Napoleon. Apparently, that is a slight on the great French general and emperor. Does anyone have a pig here called Napoleon? Well, if you do, it's just as well you're not in France. I like this one. It's a crime in Samoa to forget your wife's birthday. So I'm glad I'm not in Samoa. In Thailand, it is illegal to step on money. And this is my personal favorite. In America, in the state of Oklahoma, it is against the law to have a sleeping donkey in your bathtub after 7 p.m. Strange laws. I'm sure there was wisdom behind some of those laws, but goodness knows what it brought about that last law of a sleeping donkey in the bathtub after seven. Wisdom. Wisdom is the theme, of course, for today. We have reached the last part of our sermon series from the book of Proverbs, which we have seen, I hope, is a distillation of some of the godly wisdom in the Bible. It's written by King Solomon, and it's written for God's people then and for God's people now. I think it's always important to remember that Scripture is not written all those thousands of years ago and is irrelevant. It was only for those then. Scripture and God's word is just as important for the people of God today. And the foundation of Proverbs, the motivation of Proverbs, is that God's people, if they are serious about living godly lives, that it is full of wisdom to help God's people get the most out of life. And so far we've touched on what Proverbs has to say about love in general, about relationships, about the care of animals, and of course the careful use of our words, how words can build up or how words can destroy. Well, in this last part, we're going once again to see what Proverbs has to say about another few areas of life. And as I've said before, the list is not exhaustive. This is just meant to give us a sample of what is in Proverbs. And as with the last 3 weeks, I've put a separate sheet inside the weekly sheet for you to follow along. So can I encourage you at this stage just to have that sheet in front of you? And again, in the last few weeks, as I've said, I'm not going to explain each one in great detail. I might just give a kind of pre-explanation. But I think in these Proverbs, they speak for themselves. And it's an opportunity for all of us to think upon how they might speak into our lives. Well, the first area today is what Proverbs says about work in general. What does Proverbs say? And I think we will be affirmed. We will be affirmed that work is important. And of course, I'm not just thinking about that 9-to-5 job, if that is what we have. I'm talking about all of working life, whether that be in the workplace, whether that be at home, or wherever we might be working, in the garden or whatever it is. I'm talking about and defining work in the broadest sense. And the challenge for me, at least, comes to people who we might describe as work shy and lazy. As much as it will affirm us, the challenge comes for those who might have a sense of entitlement in life. I don't need to work. The state will simply provide all my needs. So what does Proverbs say? Proverbs 6:6-11. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. But you lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. Proverbs 13:4. A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desire of the diligent are fully satisfied. Proverbs 14:23. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Proverbs 18:9. One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. And finally, Proverbs 20:13. Do not sleep or you will grow poor. Stay awake and you will have food to spare. Working is good for us. None of us are entitled to anything in life. We work hard for what we get. Moving on. The second area is, what does Proverbs tell us about what God hates and what God loves in life? Again, very straightforward. Proverbs 3:32. Don't envy violent people or copy their ways. Such wicked people are detestable to the Lord, but he offers his friendship to the godly. Proverbs 11:1. God hates cheating in the marketplace. He loves it when business is above board. Proverbs 11:20. God can't stand deceivers, but oh how he relishes integrity. Proverbs 12:22. God can't stomach liars. He loves the company of those who keep their word. Proverbs 15:26. God can't stand evil scheming, but he puts words of grace and beauty on display. A sample of the kind of characteristics that God looks for in his people. Well, as we close this sermon series, I want to conclude with some words from today's reading. And again, can I encourage you to follow along with me, either on the weekly sheet where it is in full, or in the parts that I put on that handout. And again, I want to draw out some words for us to take with us from the book of Proverbs. The first three that I want to draw us towards. Proverbs 3:1. Don't forget all that I have taught you. Proverbs 3, verse 1 again. Take to heart my commands. They'll help you live a long, long time, a long life lived full and well. Proverbs 3, verse 6. Don't assume you know it all. Run to God. Finishing with Proverbs today shouldn't be an end. It has taught us much, I hope. It has challenged us, I hope. But we've only scratched the surface. All of us in our journey of faith is always a work in progress. We are always working towards living more God-honoring and godly lives. So I encourage us to continue to draw from places like Proverbs and indeed all parts of Scripture to help us live more God-centered lives. Today and each Sunday that we gather is an opportunity to reflect on what God's Word teaches us. Today is a pause. It's not a conclusion in our journey of faith. Continuing on, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Proverbs 3, verse 12. But don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all of this. These two verses remind us of how special each one of us is to God. How special each one of us is to God. He loves us and only ever wants the best for us and our lives. In following his ways, we are called to show a childlike trust in him, not a rebelliousness in our lives. And even when we are rebuked by God's word, even when we are challenged by God's word, what is at the very heart of that? Well, that passage tells us that love is at the root of God's motivation. A father's desire is behind it all. And for me, this makes Proverbs, it makes all of Scripture so much more personal. God's wisdom and God's love is not meant to be general or arbitrary. It has me in mind. It has me in mind. God loves me. My Heavenly Father's delight is behind it all. Why? So that I may live a better life. That in itself surely is worth thinking about. That God loves you. That God loves me. And love is always his desire. So that we may live more godly, God-honoring lives. So that we may live life to the full. These verses also remind us that we don't have to journey through life alone. That we don't have to figure life out alone. Life can be confusing and complicated at times. We wonder with a question mark at times. But these verses remind us that God is with us. God will guide us in our lives. When we call upon him, God will keep us on track. So keep on trusting in God. And this brings us back full circle. It brings us back full circle to where we started 4 weeks ago with Proverbs 1 verse 7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." It reminds us that the best step that we can take in life is to follow Jesus, is to commit our lives into the hands of Jesus, into God's hands, to know that God is with us through his Holy Spirit. And when we do that, that is the wisest thing that we can do. When we do that, we truly begin to understand and journey and broaden in life. In the areas of love and relationships, in the areas of farm life and working life, in the words that we use in family life, in all of life, we have God's wisdom guiding us. And the challenge for all of us is not only to hear what God says to us, but the challenge is to apply what we have learned into our lives and entrust, see and know the difference that that can make. We've heard from the manual. Now we've got to put it into practice. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, on this day when we remember the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we remember the God who was there at the beginning of creation, God the Father. We remember the God who sought each of us out in the person of Jesus, who died on the cross to show his love for us, who redeemed us and opened the way to our relationship with God. We remember God the Holy Spirit, who is with us in our lives, who dwells in the hearts of believers. A God who, behind everything else, wants us to live lives that bring honour to him and that are wise. So help us today not only to hear God's words, but with trust to apply them into our lives each and every day. And I pray this prayer in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.